Hello and welcome to your GCSE Biology Revision Podcast. I'm really glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most important and frequently examined topics in the whole specification. Topic B, 2, scaling up. This topic is all about how living things move substances around, how they grow, and why bigger organisms need more complex systems to stay alive. From the tiny movement of water molecules across a cell membrane, right up to the beating of your heart, it all connects. And once you understand the logic behind it, the exam questions become so much more manageable. So grab a pen, find somewhere comfortable, and let's get into it. Let's start with the big three transport mechanisms: diffusion, osmosis, and active transport. These come up in almost every paper, so you need rock-solid definitions. Diffusion is the net movement of particles from an area of higher concentration to an area of lower concentration down a concentration gradient. The key word there is net. Particles move in both directions, but there's an overall movement from high to low. And crucially, diffusion is a passive process. It doesn't require energy. Think of a drop of food coloring in water. You don't need to stir it. The molecules spread out on their own. Now, osmosis is a special type of diffusion, but it only applies to water molecules. The definition examiners want is: osmosis is the net movement of water molecules from a region of higher water potential to a region of lower water potential through a partially permeable membrane. That phrase, partially permeable membrane, is essential. Don't leave it out. A common mistake is saying water moves from dilute to concentrated. That's not wrong, but it's less precise. Higher water potential means more dilute. Lower water potential means more concentrated solute. Water always moves toward where there's more solute because that's where water potential is lower. Active transport is the odd one out. It moves substances against the concentration gradient from low to high concentration. And because it's going uphill, energetically speaking, it requires energy in the form of ATP. It also needs carrier proteins in the cell membrane. A brilliant real-world example is the absorption of glucose from your gut into your bloodstream. By the time food has been digested, the concentration of glucose in the gut might actually be lower than in the blood, but your body still needs to absorb it. So active transport kicks in, using energy to pump it across. Now let's talk about surface area to volume ratio, the SAV ratio. This is one of the most misunderstood concepts at GCSE, but once it clicks, it's actually quite elegant. As an organism gets bigger, its volume increases much faster than its surface area. Think about a cube. If the side length doubles, the surface area goes up by a factor of 4, but the volume goes up by a factor of 8. So the ratio of surface area to volume gets smaller as organisms get larger. Why does this matter? Because every cell in your body needs oxygen and glucose to arrive and carbon dioxide to leave. In a tiny organism like an amoeba, the surface area is large enough relative to its volume that simple diffusion across the outer membrane does the job. But in a large complex organism, like a human, diffusion alone is far too slow to supply every cell. That's why we have lungs, a circulatory system, and a digestive system, all specialized exchange surfaces and transport systems that evolved to solve the SAV problem. Moving on to the cell cycle and mitosis. Cells don't just divide randomly, they go through a carefully controlled cycle. During interphase, the cell grows, copies its DNA, and prepares for division. Then during mitosis itself, the chromosomes condense, line up in the middle of the cell, and are pulled to opposite ends before the cell splits into two identical daughter cells. The key point for examiners is that mitosis produces genetically identical cells. This is how your body grows and repairs itself. Stem cells are undifferentiated cells that can divide and develop into specialized cell types. In animals, embryonic stem cells can become virtually any cell type. Adult stem cells are more limited. They're found in places like bone marrow and can produce blood cells. In plants, stem cells are found in regions called meristems, located at the tips of roots and shoots. These are the growing points of the plant. Now let's look at the human circulatory system. The heart is a double pump. The right side pumps deoxygenated blood to the lungs to pick up oxygen, and the left side pumps oxygenated blood around the rest of the body. The left ventricle has a much thicker muscular wall than the right because it has to pump blood all the way around the body, a much greater distance and pressure requirement. Blood vessels come in three main types. Arteries carry blood away from the heart. They have thick, elastic walls to withstand high pressure. Veins carry blood back to the heart. They have thinner walls and valves to prevent backflow. Capillaries are the tiny exchange vessels, just one cell thick, which makes them perfectly adapted for diffusion of substances in and out of tissues. One thing examiners love to test: why is blood flow slow in capillaries? The answer is not because they're narrow. It's because the total cross-sectional area of all the capillaries combined is enormous, much greater than the arteries. This slows the blood down, giving more time for exchange. Finally, let's cover plant transport. Plants have two transport systems, xylem and phloem. Xylem carries water and dissolved minerals from roots to leaves. This movement is called transpiration. Phloem carries dissolved sugars from leaves to the rest of the plant. This is called translocation. Root hair cells are beautifully adapted for water absorption. They have a large surface area due to their long, thin projections, a thin cell wall, and a large permanent vacuole. Water enters by osmosis. The soil water has a higher water potential than the root hair cell cytoplasm, so water moves in. Transpiration rate is affected by several factors: light intensity, temperature, humidity, and wind speed. More light, higher temperature, lower humidity, and higher wind speed all increase the rate of transpiration. You might be asked to interpret data from a pitometer experiment, a practical that measures water uptake as a proxy for transpiration rate, right? Let's talk exam strategy. These are the mistakes I see candidates make time and time again. Number one, confusing the direction of osmosis. Remember, water moves from high water potential to low water potential. High water potential equals dilute solution. Low water potential equals concentrated solution. If you're ever unsure, ask yourself, where is there more solute? Water moves toward the solute. Number two, the SAV ratio trap. Larger organisms have a smaller SAV ratio, not larger. I know it seems counterintuitive, but think about it mathematically. As size increases, volume grows faster than surface area. Number three, saying capillaries are slow because they're narrow. They're slow because of the enormous total cross-sectional area. Examiners specifically mark this distinction. Number four, forgetting that active transport requires energy and carrier proteins. Both details are needed for full marks. Number five, vague descriptions of mitosis. Don't just say the cell divides. Say the chromosomes are replicated, condense, line up at the equator, are pulled to opposite poles, and the cell divides to produce two genetically identical daughter cells. For command words, if a question says explain, you must give a reason using the word because or so that. If it says describe, you're just saying what happens. If it says calculate, show every step of working. Even if your final answer is wrong, you can still earn method marks. 6-mark questions on this topic often ask you to explain how the structure of a named organ is adapted for its function. Use the structure, identify the feature, describe what it does, explain why that helps. Repeat for at least 3 features. Time for a quick fire quiz. Pause after each question and try to answer before I give you the answer. Question 1. What is the definition of osmosis? Answer: the net movement of water molecules from a region of higher water potential to lower water potential through a partially permeable membrane. Question 2. Which side of the heart has a thicker muscular wall and why? Answer: the left ventricle, because it pumps blood around the whole body, requiring greater pressure. Question 3. What happens to the SAV ratio as an organism increases in size? Answer: it decreases. Question 4. Name 2 factors that increase the rate of transpiration. Answer: any 2 from increased light intensity, increased temperature, decreased humidity, increased wind speed. Question 5. What type of transport moves glucose from the gut into the blood and why? Answer: active transport, because it moves against the concentration gradient and requires energy. Brilliant work getting through all of that. Let me leave you with the 5 most important things to take away from this topic. 1, know your 3 transport mechanisms cold. Diffusion is passive, down the gradient. Osmosis is water only through a partially permeable membrane. Active transport is against the gradient and needs ATP. 2, sac decreases as organisms get larger. This drives the need for specialized systems. 3, the left ventricle is thicker than the right because it pumps blood further. So 4, capillary blood flow is slow due to large total cross-sectional area, not narrow diameter. 5, Transpiration is measured with a pathometer, and its rate increases with light, heat, wind, and low humidity. You've got this. Keep revisiting these concepts, do plenty of past paper questions, and remember, every mark you practice for is a mark you can earn on the day. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.